This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number for our show is 877-217-5757. Later in the hour, we'll have a tribute to Cokie Roberts, who died yesterday at 75. And a reminder that we only do this a few times a year, but this is membership time. And if you're a person who's been out there for 39 years and haven't joined the WRKF membership rolls, this is an opportunity. We're really trying to get new members, and the pledge line is 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. And if you treasure this kind of programming, it is your contributions that make it happen. And we'd like to hear from you again, 855-893-9753. We're in studio with the Dean of the Manship School of Mass Communication, Martin Johnson, and Michael Bonnet, who is Director of Communications for the LSU Athletic Program and also holds the title of Associate Athletic Director. He's been in Tigertown directing the Tiger publicity ship for 20 years. And today, front page of the Advocate, the newspaper of record, Nick Saban's back on the front page. And Mike, for good reason, he is being inducted, or will be, in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
He's certainly deserving of it. You know, I think some people are questioning that maybe perhaps the timing, but you know, he's eligible to be in the hall, and he was voted in, and you know, it's hard to argue what he did here at LSU.
And all other coaches who've led LSU to national titles in football are in the Hall of Fame, and they should be. And
sure.
Nick Saban, as you know, took over a program that had 8 losing seasons in 11 years before he arrived, and you were there at the same time.
Kind I was.
You worked together, and I understand he was a tough taskmaster.
He was very tough to work for, but you learn a lot from him, and you learn how to deal with him, and made me better at my job and how I try to run my department. So I learned quite a bit from him. I enjoyed the 5 years that he was here, and, you know.
Well, you won a national title.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I hear he yells every now and then.
I never heard that.
No? Not once.
Not once.
But he's had success, and he is a guy who put his money where his mouth was. If you go by the journalism school, and we're about to talk about the LSU Manship School, right across the street is the Cox Center for Athletes, the academic center. And if you look at the $100,000 contributors, the only coach on there is Nick Saban.
He was very giving and understood his responsibility when it comes to things like that. And, you know, you're right. I mean, he had a vision for that academic center, and he put his money, you know, he said he was going to contribute, and he did.
Before we go to Martin Johnson, the dean of the Manship School, a listener, this is Tracy at the Capitol asking you to compare the three coaches, head coaches, you have worked for at LSU, Saban, Miles, and Coach O.
Yeah, they're all quite different, as you may imagine. I think Coach O is really, being from Louisiana, he understands the culture here better than the other two. And, you know, he's living his dream job. And, you know, he's doing it every day. And I think that, you know, he's the perfect fit for LSU. You know, I've watched him now in his fourth year, and he really has total control of the program. He's got a vision. You know, we practice. I've never seen a team practice like we practice. We execute every day, and then we take it to the field on Saturday. So I've really enjoyed watching Coach O as LSU's head coach, working alongside him. You know, it's been a good short run so far, and I see plenty more, you know, success in the future.
Well, some might wonder why we have the spokesman for the athletic department on the air with the dean of the journalism school, but there is a collaboration going on, and many journalists, sports in particular, have come through the halls of the Manship School.
Absolutely.
And Martin Johnson, I know you're quite proud of those who have gone on to great things in the world of sports journalism, but it probably makes sense. The biggest brand in the state of Louisiana is LSU, in particular LSU football, and you're right across the street.
We sure are. You know, one of the things that we've really worked on over the last several years is collaboration with a lot of different folks, and what we're working on with athletics is a really exciting opportunity, set of opportunities for students in journalism, but also in all the different sort of cognate fields that we work with in the Manship School, public relations, advertising, digital advertising, and political communication, in addition to journalism, both broadcast journalism and print journalism. And we've partnered and collaborated with athletics to build out a pipeline of opportunities, professional opportunities, training opportunities, preparation opportunities for students across these fields, working in a variety of facets of sports information and other aspects of the athletics department.
Well, there are some who don't believe that sports is journalism. I think at least one former dean doesn't believe that, but you obviously believe otherwise. And Alex Martin, who I went to school with, who was editor of the Reveille, as Martin Johnson was, Alex in 1981, Martin in 91, he's now the world editor for the Wall Street Journal, and he said the best writing in most newspapers is on the sports page.
Well, at the end of the day, journalism at its core is storytelling, and there are just so many important stories to tell in the sports arena. There's so many stories that people want to learn about, want to know about in the sports arena, and that just provides this really fertile ground for journalists and storytellers of all stripes to explore and educate the public.
Now, Mike, you, of course, you're assigned to present the best possible posture for the athletic mm-hmm. department. You're not doing investigative stories about the department, but nonetheless, that is journalism, public relations, if you will, and it's a big part of our world and a noble calling. But how will that work with a journalism school where students sometimes are told to go out and ferret out corruption and crime and all kinds of things that may or may not be going on?
Right. Well, you know, we understand that there is part of that, but, you know, I think Martin said it best. There are so many great stories to tell with our student athletes, whether it be football players or women's basketball. You know, these people come from, our student athletes come from all walks of life. They get here from a variety of places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cody Warsham, who we added to our staff, has done a great job of telling a lot of these stories, whether it be through feature stories or the podcast. So, you know, I think there's so many opportunities. We have over 500 student athletes, and we only have so much manpower to try to tell these stories. So, you know, we talked about this partnership for a while, and we finally got it off the ground. And you know, I think it's only going to help the LSU brand and letting our fans know just who our student athletes are. I mean, we've got guys from, you know, Stephon Sullivan recently was he graduated, first person in his family to graduate not only from high school but from college. He spent time living, quite frankly, under a bridge as he was growing up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to hear those stories, and it really, you know, it hits home some of the things that we never, you know, I never had to worry about growing up. But, you know, that's the reality mm-hmm. of where some of our student athletes come from. But, you know, storytelling is just one part of what we are offering through this partnership. We've got things, you know, we've got the video department, we've got scoreboards, we've got the internet, the social media. There's so many areas that we can get Manship students involved with. The sports industry, as you know, is booming in terms of different jobs, and you know, they're helping us fulfill some of these needs.
Well, sports publicity is in Michael Bonnet's blood. His dad, Lewis, was the SID at McNeese for 46 years, and that's where Coach O began his coaching career after leaving Northwestern State. And I'm sure his dad knew Coach O well back in the day, but quite often we get immersed in the games, the next game. And the next game for LSU is Saturday at Vanderbilt, and Michael will be leaving for Nashville shortly. But quite often, as you note, there are stories behind the story that sometimes are told, sometimes are not. And you, as the publicity person, you have to deal with sports of all kinds. What's the toughest day you've had on your job in 20 years?
There's been, you know, I think the day that Les got fired was difficult. I think the day that, you know, Nick decided to leave on Christmas Day. As a matter of fact, it was Christmas morning. My phone rang at 8 o'clock on Christmas morning. I've got two small children, and it was Ted Lewis from the Picayune calling. I said, Ted, you're calling to wish me Merry Christmas? Or what, you know? But, you know, I think days where, you know, negative things happen are difficult.
What about the death of Wade Sims.
Absolutely. Yeah, very difficult. I mean, you know, unfortunately there have been far too many of those. But, yeah, Wade's death was very traumatic. And there's no playbook, if you will, on how to handle something like that. I think you got to you know, handle it with your heart and do what's best and show compassion. But, you know, there have been quite a few of those, unfortunately.
Well, on the field, it looks like it's going to be a fine season for the fourth-ranked Tigers, who are 23-point favorites over Vanderbilt. And you've had some great seasons, two national championship seasons, and this one, if everything breaks right, looks like it could be a season to remember.
Yes, indeed. I think we're certainly heading in that direction. I think with a quarterback like Joe Burrow, the sky's the limit.
Thank you, Michael Bonnet. We'll continue with Martin Johnson and have a few other guests joining the Dean after this brief timeout. And again, we'd like to hear from you. Please call WRKF and make the phones ring and your contributions tangible, 855-893-9753. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us today for Talk Louisiana. This is the Fall Member Fest, and it is a plus one campaign. We know most of us do. Someone who uses the phrase, I heard this story on NPR, who may have never gotten around to giving a financial gift of support. If you recruit this not quite yet a member to become a member of WRKF at just $5 a month or more, you'll both receive a pair of WRKF's new super comfy blue and green striped socks brandishing the WRKF logo, and a pelican wearing headphones perched on a microphone. Quite a pair of socks. And when they call in or pledge online, all that is needed to do is to provide your name in the plus one section on the form. 855-893-9753. To chat with one of our volunteers or give online at WRKF.org. We continue with Dr. Martin Johnson, the Dean of the Manship School of Mass Communication, and he came through the gates of LSU, was editor of the Reveille 28 years ago, and the Reveille, back when I was working there in 1981, was a five-day-a-week proposition, and a few years ago it went to one day a week. Disappointment for some of us, but now it's coming back a bit. What happened, Martin Johnson?
Well, you know, we got to looking at it, and I'm joined here in the studio with Jeff Gauger, who's our new content advisor with the Reveille, and Caleb Green, who's the editor-in-chief of the Reveille right now. And when Jeff came in over the summer, we had been looking at trying to figure out a way to expand the print product, and the director of student media, John Frischa, and Jeff sat down with the business folks and figured out that it was feasible to take the paper back up to 2 days. And that's a really, I think, exciting set of opportunities for readers on campus as well as for the student training program. But that's not all that's going on, obviously. In addition to that, they have launched an app that is a really fantastic resource, and they're managing it, in my estimation, really well. And another product, which is a couple of times a week, you can sign up to get a newsletter in your email inbox, which a lot of news organizations are doing today, but it augments the coverage that you can get from the Daily Reveille. And I think this new set of services are just really fantastic for readers on campus at LSU, and again, great for the opportunities that our students are seeing.
Adjusting with the Times is the Reveille, which during the last couple of decades has been named best in the country among college newspapers. And how is the state generally for newspapers on college campuses? We know it's not so great for newspapers at large. How is it on campus?
Well, I think across the industry, you're seeing a lot of adjusting and you know, technological disruption and trying to figure out how to deal with the new digital technologies that are available to us. And I think you see that on college campuses as well, as part of the process of trying to figure out the right mix of digital and print publication. One exercise that they did in the basement of Hodges Hall, working in student media, was trying to ascertain among peer institutions what the shape of student newspapers looks like. And, you see a tremendous amount of variation. There are still dailies. There are online only and everything in between. And so, you know, I think the bulk of student newspapers publish 1 or 2 days a week. An interesting factoid that I've seen Caleb write about is across all of these peer institutions, we've only in the last 5 years seen days of print reduced. So at least on average, 1 day of print reduced. I don't think we've seen anywhere else that's added days. And so that's a kind of a unique differentiator about the Reveille is that it's added back a day in a student sector of an industry where you haven't seen really that at all in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, a credit to what we're doing.
Well, the Reveille has a rich history, one of the few entities to have taken on Governor Huey Pierce Long, who didn't like it very much, did he?
No, it's the big shoes of the Reveille 7 that we still talk about, absolutely.
He shut them down, but they had the proverbial last word.
Absolutely, and we still honor them. I mean, there are awards that are named after them. I mean, that's their work was important.
Well, he called it my newspaper.
Mm-hmm. It was his football team. It was his band. It was his university.
His newspaper. Yeah. And now we have the newspaper of record, The Advocate, which is a good newspaper, and thank God they're in business. But they're the official newspaper for LSU athletics, so it makes you wonder. You know, sometimes it's a little cozier than it used to be, but that's another big change as the commercialization of journalism, and most of us survive through contributions from advertisers, and that's the way the trains roll. And without them, it wouldn't be sustainable.
No, that's right. That's
how's right. Advertising with the Reveille?
Well, I think it's strong. I mean, I think that's part of why they were able to make that shift from 1 to 2 days and look at these expansions of various kinds was that that advertising sales are going reasonably well, and hopefully the move to 2 days will spur even more because we have more inventory to recruit and provide services to advertisers.
And underwriting on WRKF, of course, is a big part of the picture. But right now, as we ask for your support, there is more that is derived from your contributions, not from underwriting and not from any kind of government sustenance. It's you, the listener, that makes WRKF what it is. And again, that number is 855-893-9753. Tracy, another question from Tracy about the Reveille. How many are you printing?
I've got experts here.
Yeah, how many? Printing, you're doing 2 days a week now, and it was the number I had was 6,000. Is that right?
It's 6,500, actually.
6,500.
Yep.
And by the way, disclaimer, I am chair of the media board, and
right.
This young man who just spoke, Caleb Green, we hired him as the editor. Why don't you give us a little about your past, Caleb, how you got to this position?
Yeah, so I'm not a Louisiana son, so to speak. I'm actually from Indiana. I'm an out-of-state student who came down here looking to be a petroleum engineer, mm-hmm. and my very presence in this room tells you that didn't work out. So I spent 2 semesters as a news reporter with the Reveille. I covered holistic emissions very in-depthly, and there was this great opportunity that opened up this spring at The Advocate to work alongside Kyle Whitfield on the digital desk. So I took that opportunity, but I always didn't think I accomplished what I wanted to at the Reveille. I didn't mm-hmm. think the Reveille was where it needed to be to once again kind of capture the imagination and the voice of the student body. So, as you said, I mean, you hired mm-hmm. me back in the spring as a member of the media board. And so I applied and was accepting that position early April. And I spent the entire summer working alongside Jeff to try to put forth a plan so we can be a more digital-first mm-hmm. publication. And I think we've done that. And I think we've also seen that we can be a digital-first publication but also increase our print frequency.
Well, Caleb, I think, has political aspirations. I remember you saying that, and he's a very poised young man. He knows a lot about politics and comes from a great state that's produced a lot of politicos like Birch Bayh and Mike Pence.
Yeah, that's very balanced of you.
But more than one journalist has entered the political fray. I wouldn't be surprised to see your name on a ballot sometime.
Well,
thank you for saying that. You're not disagreeing with that. So remember the name, but will he run in Louisiana or Indiana or somewhere else? But we'll find out. But a new face at the journalism school is Jeff Gauger, who is the Reveille advisor. And, of course, that's an important position. I remember when I was there, we had Mike Convica, who was a great guy and a big influence on me and many others. And the advisor is important as far as the components of the newspaper. What will you be doing with Caleb and others?
My job is to help them manage their journalism, make the journalism as good as it can be, to run many of the business operations, interactions with the printer, that sort of thing, and to remove the friction so the students can focus on journalism.
Friction?
Yeah, you know, speed bumps, problems with computers, that sort of thing.
And occasionally competition with other media at LSU. So that's something you'll have to deal with too, I'm sure. But competition can be a good thing.
And competition with media not at LSU
that's
in the broader
too.
Community.
Yeah, breaking stories. Yeah, these kids breaking stories that the rest of us should be breaking. But Caleb Green is far from a kid. Remember the name. Hopefully we'll have him back soon. And thanks for what you do, Dean Martin Johnson. And congratulations, Jeff Gauger.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Talk Louisiana after this brief timeout on WRKF.